Good morning. Wow, that's really amplified. That's really cool. So good to have you here today. So good to be here today, for sure. this time of the year always gives you, the internet gives you the listing of all the celebrities that died. Charlie Pride and all these, Sean Connery. Who? Yeah, one ping only. Yeah, Mr. Fischili. So there's a lot of people. I've had a lot of friends of mine who have passed away. Randy Amos passed away. A guy named Larry Allen from New Jersey, one of the early COVID deaths. and it was definitely because of COVID, for sure. I mean, this has been a weird year. 2020 has been just an incredibly weird year, and people are just anxious for it to get over with, you know? They really are. They're very anxious to have it to be gone. A lot of Christians are like this. A lot of Christians are thinking this very thing, especially with the COVID lockdowns and the impingement of religious freedom in the world today, especially in the United States, or seemingly religious lack of freedom. It gets tough. Did you hear what God said to Joshua? He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, how does that relate to anything? I'd like us to look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And what God said to Joshua is an interesting, very interesting thing, I think. Would you read for us, nice and loud, with your open-air voice, Bill, 1 through 9? Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9? Yes, sir. Thank you. If anybody had the opportunity to have fear, it would be Joshua. He is facing things that they never faced before. They were facing hostile individuals, hostile nations. The Lord was disciplining Moses. "You're not going to the promised land. You didn't do what I asked of you. Actually, you did do what I did not ask of you." I always think of that verse in the Psalms when it says that Moses spoke unadvisedly with his lips. And I thought to myself, that is very scary to me. He spoke unadvisedly with his lips. And I thought to myself, wow, that is really something. And then he struck the rock twice, and he should not have done that. And he was taking it upon himself, and his wisdom was better than God's wisdom. And I think that's why he didn't go back and he didn't get into it. "You're not going to see the promised land. Joshua will. He'll take them across, and then he'll lead them into it." But I find it interesting because God shows Joshua three lessons in encouraging him to trust God more. I don't know if we were to compare what we're going through as a country or as individuals or as a people, what we're going through nationwide and also worldwide, if it was tougher than Joshua was facing. I don't think so. I think that he had to go in and he had to be obedient and not get tricked. He did get tricked by that one tribe or that one nation, they came and they tricked him. And He was not able to conquer them because of his word. And it was just really an interesting type of thing. But so we look at these lessons that God is going to show Joshua. He shows them a lesson of the past, verses 1 through 5a. He shows them the lesson of the future, verse 5b, the last half of verse 5. And then he shows Joshua the lesson of the present, verses 6 through 9. He shows Joshua the lesson of the past. And so what is he doing? He's dealing the past dealings with Israel. And he tells them, Joshua is seeing firsthand the miracles that Moses did. There were three guys in the Old Testament that did the miraculous. Three prophets, if you please. And that Moses was one of them, Elijah and Elisha. And they were the only three that did the miraculous, called down fire, etc., of the three. Moses was one of those. And he saw, Joshua is watching the staff get turned, the snakes, the plagues, separation of the Red Sea on dry land. I mean, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing what he saw and how God worked. And now it says in verse 1, this is a staggering thing, because look at this. If you wanted to get the lay of the land on this, Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 60, that's the great sermon that Stephen preaches, and he gives, in his preaching, he gives the history of Israel and how God really worked. And then he says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua. The Lord spoke to him. And what did he say to him, son of Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, minister, saying? First thing out of God's mouth to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that's the title of our little discussion today. Why do you think that Joshua didn't know that? Why do you think that God had to tell or told him of that? I think he was reminding him that it's not Moses that was so powerful. It was God himself who is powerful. Moses, my servant, is dead. And then, that if he left it there, it would be very difficult. You go into great consternation, great, upsetness. And, the past dealings, it's over. It's not going to happen anymore. We're not going to have any more blessing per se because Moses is gone. It's over. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say it, stay there. He says, now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto which I do give to them, even the children of Israel, every place. Can you imagine this? Every place where your sole of your foot, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I given you, as I said unto Moses. I said this to Moses, I'm saying it to you. From the wilderness to this, and he gives them the great river Euphrates. That's the middle of, where is that at? Iraq. Yeah, you've been in Iraq. Afghanistan, okay. Dan Duvall, Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, this, river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward going down to the sun shall be your border. That comes down later in Genesis. We see this in Genesis 12 when he tells this to Abraham. He says and gives the borders of what Israel is going to be like in the kingdom. People say, what is it going to be? Israel now is just, it's a miraculous thing, and indeed it is, but they don't got all the land they're going to get. And we see the borders here, Euphrates to the Nile, actually. That's all that area they're going to get. But they're only going to get that in the millennial kingdom. They'll get that in the millennial kingdom. He's saying, wherever your foot rests, I'm giving you that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody saying that to you? You know, he's saying, okay. And now he's talking about, I mean, the crossing of the sea there, the crossing, the separation of that and the crossing, about 1.5 to 2 million Israelites crossing into, going into that, into the Kadesh Barnea area, that type of thing, and then them going into the promised land. Just amazing. Just amazing. Wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give this to you. This is his promise. This is his promise to him. And then we look at this and he says, there shall not be any man. Oh, wow. There shall not be any man. So his past dealings with Israel and then also with Moses, there shall not be anybody that shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. There is going to be, you will always have victory. In fact, that's the theme, you know, the conquering of this, the conquering of Canaan, or the victory. And we look at this and we say, wow, he'll have victory all the days of your life. All the days of your life. This is what as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Do you know that he's with you now? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your finger here in Joshua, but look at Hebrews. I want you to understand something that we as Christians must understand. We need to understand that God is speaking to us. That's what we need to know. We need to understand that God is speaking to us. You know, his word is speaking to us. Let your manner of life be without covetous, verse 5. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So oftentimes what we do is we do not believe that God is with us. I mean, we celebrated Christmas Friday, and you know, it's the old story, Emmanuel, and then God with us. And the differences between us, the church, and Israel, the nation, is that God was with them. But here's the cool part about the church. He is in us. Big difference. He is in us. So think about this, Mike, for a moment, that God, in his totality, is in you. It's not like a fall, you know, like an amoeba with a little foot going out this way. It's part of God in you. No. Not at all. Paul writes to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says about the Holy Spirit, if you have not the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. Romans chapter 8. John chapter 14, I and my Father will make our abode with you. Oh, man. So the Trinity ostensibly lives inside you. If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, he is not just your Savior and saving you from hell. He occupies you. He possesses you. You are a possessor of God. It's just not we espouse some philosophy. We trust him as our Savior. We have him in us. Ephesians talks about this, the seal of redemption. You have the seal of redemption. This is staggering. This is a whole new thing. You know, I will take your stony heart out of you and I will put you a heart of flesh. I will give you me. God of the universe, who spoke the worlds into existence, is in you. So he deals with, he's sharing the lesson of the past with Joshua. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Not temporary. It's permanent. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that? I mean, seriously, do you really believe that? In the deepest parts of your heart, do you believe that? Do you really, and we, you know, it's tough to understand this, you know, it's the theanthropicness. People call that the theanthropic, the theologians, the theanthropicness of Christ. Theoanthropos, God, man. How could he indwell the believer? How could he do that? Well, he says he does it. I take God at his word. But he's telling Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. I will be with you. Nobody's going to be able to stand all the days. Oh, well. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the thing is, he doesn't give us the junk that we possess. Yes, that's a blessing. But the greatest blessing is himself. So Marina, he's in you. He is in you. We often say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? What little light is that? I think it's misnomered. This magnificent, unbelievable, glorious light, I'm going to let it shine. This magnificent, glorious light, I'm going to let it shine. Can you imagine singing something like that? The little kid's going, I can't say that with no teeth in my front teeth. This is so powerful. It's everything. It's not part of something. It's everything. Without this, it's, as I've said many times before, it's over. It is over. Now he's going to share the lesson of the future. Look at verse 5. In verse 5 again, verse 5a, we see the dealings, you know, with him, and he says, there shall not any man be able to stand against before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail you nor forsake you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail you nor forsake you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Why is he telling Joshua this? Don't you think that Joshua's reading his Bible? I don't know. Actually, he's not, because the Bible is not codified in what we have today. So he's working from straight revelation from God. He's working from straight revelation. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. I can't believe all the institutions that are failing us, that we're seeing, that causes us great consternation. The NFL. The God of the NFL has failed us. You know, the God of Major League Baseball has failed us. The political systems in the United States have failed us. They failed us. We think the people are going to do right. They're not. They're going to do evil. They're going to do magnificently great evil. and they fail us, and we get really upset. We Christians, really, we really do. We really get really upset. Lose your sanctification watching television, the news. All of a sudden, words come out of your mouth you haven't said for years. And maybe some of you have never said them. They come out of your mouth. And you're just going, are you kidding me? What is wrong with these people? You know? Are we putting our trust in these people? God is saying, I'm never going to leave you nor ever forsake you. I will never fail you. We have the God of the universe. There is not one potentate, there is not one person ever, 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 except the Lord Jesus Christ, that can top him in terms of character, in terms of faithfulness. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Talk about consistency. And we know him. He is my God. He is my Savior. There is never any doubt on this. It's not like, will he take up my request? Will he answer my prayer? Will he have a relationship with me and really bless my life? Will he do this? No, there's never a doubt. God has got your best, his best, let's see, how do I put this? Your best interest in mind, is that right? Or his best interest for you in mind? He's got your best interest in mind. That's agape love. Agape all, agape love. Love that has the best interest for the person there that it's being shown to. That's what it is. He has that for you. We often think, what's life going to be like? We play these scenarios out. You know, we do. We play these scenarios out. I got to tell you something. Let's play the scenario out that God has your best interest in mind. That God is going to, he's never going to leave you nor ever forsake you. That he indwells you. He holds your future. He can minister. And when we turn and trust in him and lean on his word and always obey his word, when we do that and we make him the focus of our life, he will bless your life because he is a blessing, and we have a relationship with this God who does nothing but bless his children, of which you are. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. And guess what? No one will dethrone him. No one will dethrone him. Is there any doubt that God will ever be dethroned from his rightful position? The answer is nope. Nope. N-O-P-E. Nope. I don't even know if that's in the Greek. Nope. Nope. No. No, nothing can do this. No, notice what he tells us then. And so, you know, the lesson of the future, God will always be there. That's the lesson he wants us to understand. God will always be there. 24/7, 365, you know, and a quarter. He's always going to be there. And somebody says, he's just a prayer away. Well, he's even closer than that because he indwells you. He even indwells you. So he's closer than just, he's just a prayer away. Like all of a sudden he comes to you, you know. No. He's always been there. He'll be there always. But then he's telling us, look at verse 4b again, if you don't mind. You know, he tells them, well, let's just look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 here for a momento. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be prosper wherever you go. God never fails. He's always there. He will never fail. And then he will never forsake. Oh, man. He will never forsake. Loss of job, the company forsakes you. Our God never forsakes you. Wondering where to redirect, God will direct. God is a great God. You know, we talked about this, and I think, you know, this pandemic, I think what the Lord is, you know, what is the Lord doing? What's going on? Why doesn't he answer our prayers so we can go back to normal the way we were? I think our disappointment is God's appointment. I think that God is going to take us into realms that we have to not trust the United States government, not trust the Supreme Court, not trust anything on this planet because men fail. But we trust God, and it is a greater opportunity for us to trust God. We can either go cuckoo with this present climate in terms of the political climate and the potential of the United States being taken over by communism. And that's a very real situation. I mean, that is a very real situation. Marxism and communism, the philosophy, if you don't think that that philosophy is being pushed on us, what have you been reading? Where have you been? That is being pushed on us. BLM, Antifa, people in Congress, etc. They're trying to do this. That can get me really upset. Our God never fails. Our God never fails. We keep our focus on the one who keeps everything, and he ministers and he keeps you. God will keep you. I love it what David said. I've been young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I think God has allowed this to his church because allowed this to happen so our refocus, we refocus and we focus on him. Not on how good we had it, not on how powerful our economy is, not on how great our president has been, not on anything. Our focus must be him. Always. Always has to be him. Or we do go cuckoo. And this is why he says, be strong. Verse 6, and of good courage. It takes courage to do this. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing right in the midst of fear. You look at this, and our fear is not really, our fear is to fear him greater than anything that we see before us. Anything we see before us, our fear is greater. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. One of the things that Satan does, and he's doing it effectively in the United States, is a great dose of fear. This COVID thing, I was talking to a relative yesterday and over the phone, and they were terrified of this COVID thing. I mean, absolutely terrified. And I thought to myself, the Chinese have done a great job, bioterrorism. And that's what terrorism does. And that's really not the Chinese, that's satanic. This satanic terrorism to create fear in your heart. When there's fear in our hearts are not looking at the one who calms the fear. We're looking at the issue that creates the fear. And what we need to do is look back to him. And he says, so be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. You know, John, when you read that passage, the blessed hope today at the breaking of bread, I thought to myself, amen. Yes, he's coming again. He's coming again. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I am coming again. The Lord Jesus is coming. That rapture is going to take place, that blessed hope. So we don't, but we don't go get white robes and go to some mountain, especially in Michigan, because there are none, not in the lower peninsula. You know, I mean, you know, it's pretty flat, you know. And so we go create a mountain, sit on our housetops or something. We don't do that. We work while it is yet day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And what kind of work should we be doing? What is the work? And it's really, here's the work. It's the work of faith. Taking God at his word. Understanding we take him at his word. Understanding what his word is saying and obeying it. Doing what God would have us to do. Looking at his word and doing it. One of the things that is so powerful. If we have had fear as Christians and we are consternated about these different things that are, how do you think the people without Jesus are feeling? How do you think it was my brother that was very, very fearful. I mean, you know, he's 4 years older than me, and he just was really, really upset. And yesterday, when we talked, and how do you think that these people in the world, they're terrified? Who's got the answer? You do. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So when we look at this and we say, wow, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. And this is what Christmas is all about. You know, every year, I don't know, I don't have a meter that shows me what, you know, how people, it's getting, let me just say it this way, it's getting less and less. The Christmas season is more secular than ever before. They do not know why Christmas is here. A lot of people. We sing the songs. You know, it really ticked me off too. You know, on XM, I have Sirius XM, and I have the holiday. It's a holly jolly. You know, the little button you push, and it's yeah. They couldn't even wait a day. It's all gone. All that stuff is gone. All the trappings. We came home from JC and Kelly's on Christmas night. And we came home, and it was beautiful. Oh, come and adore. Beautiful. We love that kind of stuff. I went down on an errand yesterday, and I turned that high, buttoned it, and you know, they got swing. 1940s, Benny Goodman. They got all this. It's gone. I called Barb. I said, it's gone. All of it's gone. You know, it's all marketing. That's what it is, you know. And I look at this, but he's not gone. He's not gone. And so if these people are feeling this way and they don't understand, we have an unprecedented opportunity, to tell these people about Jesus. What an incredible opportunity to tell people about Jesus is right now. Just not the Christmas season. I've often said that the Christmas season is the best time of the year to tell people about Christ. It really is. We found that true, very true in New York City. We'd sing on subways Christmas carols and then pass out literature, and everybody's going, yeah. And I'd say, we need to put the Christ back into Christmas, and people would take gospel literature like crazy. You know, yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, that's really true. You know, yeah, and we'd get the gospel out. You know, the best time of the year for that. But what's happening now is every day of this year is the best time of the year to tell people the future. He said, I'll never leave you nor ever forsake you. Wow. And then notice the trust he is telling, he's talking about the present. God always blesses trust. He always blesses when you take God at His word. He always blesses. That's faith. Taking God at His word. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world, right? That overcomes the stress, that overcomes the fear, that overcomes the doubt, that overcomes everything. Our faith in Him. And then he tells them about the, you know, looking at the trust and the you look at my word, you look at my what I want you to look at, you look at this and you do whatever, you will prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, that thou mayest prosper, shalt be the way of prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go, because He is in you. He is in you. So we've looked at the past, future, and present. We need to learn these three lessons. We do. We need to learn these three lessons. This new year is coming up. It's just a date change, really. Our God is consistent. I love the poem. I love this poem. Yesterday He helped me. Today He did the same. How long will this continue? Forever, praise His name. I love that. James Lipton, September 1926. He died 2 March 2020. He was host of the long-running TV series Inside the Actor's Studio. He was an acting coach, and he coached guys to the likes of I can't even think of their names. The famous, who was the guys, the Sundance Kid guys? Who were the Sundance guys? That was Robert Redford, and who was his companion? Paul Newman. All these different guys. I mean, we're talking a whole boatload of them. famous actors, right? He would ask this question of his student actors. Here's the question. You ready for this? If God exists, what would you like to hear him say after your death? If God exists, what would you like him, what would you like to hear him say after your death? I couldn't believe some guy would ask that kind of a question to that group. What would you like to hear him say? I think we know the answer to that, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's only going to come to us who have focused on him. Oh, that's not denying us the entrance to him, but well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We can enter that joy of the Lord this very moment. We can be joyful. We can be peaceful, even in the midst of all of the things, because he said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your love that overcomes the world. Help us to trust you more. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.